Parsha Shemini, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Mem Gimel, chapter 11, verse 43. The Torah talks about not eating the different bugs and sherets, and what will happen if you do. They're disgusting, it's an abomination. You should not defile yourself with mesam bum, because you become contaminated through them, spiritually contaminated. So the Gemara in Yuma and Daf Lamed Tes points out that the word vidnit mesam bum is spelled without an aleph. So what do we learn now from the missing aleph? So the Gemara says, Mikan we learn out from here that eating non-kosher dulls the spiritual senses. It has a terrible effect on you. And in fact, we find many of the later Achronim, the Pri Chodesh, the Ben Ish Chai, they talk about the terrible effects of eating non-kosher. If you eat non-kosher when you're younger, it's going to cause people to rebel later against Yiddishkeit, against Judaism, or it's going to lead to thoughts of apikarsis, of heresy later on. And in fact, there's a famous story with Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, or Rav Chaim Soloveitchik says over, the story's about the Rambam. The Rambam, he lived in Taman, and then he moved to other places, Egypt among one of them, and he continued his correspondence with different rabbis in Taman. And after a while, the rabbi in Taman was writing to the Rambam, and the Rambam was not responding. He was not writing back. So the rabbi in Taman wrote back, "What happened? You don't like me anymore? How come you're not talking to me anymore?" So apparently what he was writing from a theological point of view, the Rambam felt very offensive and bordering heresy, and he was concerned, so he wrote back to him a five-letter response. Say, go out, ubade, go out and check, shochtim ubodkim shabir, go out and check the butcher shop, go out and check something that you must be eating, something must be in the water, something must be in the meat, they're not being slaughtered properly, and because of your eating non-kosher, it's metamtem es halev, and it's causing you to think crazy. So therefore, we see, just early on a spiritual level, we find among the poskim, Api Kabbalah, many strong words about the impact of timtem halev. So in fact, it's an interesting Drushas Haran. But before I get to the Drushas Haran, let's go back to a story in Navi, which as well the Gemara in Chulin and Daf Hei elaborates on. The story of Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud Zayin, with Eliyo HaNavi, was during the famine. He had nothing to eat, so the raven used to bring him bread and meat. And Gemara wants to know, well, in the Pesukim tell us, they get the food from Achav. He used to get it from Achav's kitchen. So the Gemara asked, how could Eliyo eat from Achav's kitchen? Achav was an Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Was it kosher in the house? So the Gemara's answer in Chulin and Daf Hei is, Al Pi Dibor Shani. If God tells you, then you do it. God told him to have this meat, so you don't ask any questions. What does that mean exactly, Al Pi Dibor Shani? So the way Rashi and Tosfos learn the Gemara is Kapshuto, that he ate treif. In other words, it's okay to eat non-kosher if God tells you to. And the Ritva and the Metzudah Savit over there, and Navi says, no way, are you Chas V'Shalom Chalila to say Eliyo HaNavi ate non-kosher? No. We'll have to come up with some reason how he got kosher food, but you can't, it's not a possibility to say that he ate non-kosher. So it's a machlokas Rishonim on on whether Eliyahu Hanavi ate non-kosher. In fact, that's the Marsha's question on Rashi. How could you say that Eliyahu Hanavi ate non-kosher? We know the whole thing with Moshe Rabbeinu. He even had a breastfeed nurse from a Jewish woman because he was someone who's speaking to the divine presence. So how could that be? So to understand this machlokes, we've shown him on whether Eliyahu Hanavi had kosher food or treif, we have to go to a Drashas Haran. There's a Drashas Haran, I think it's on Parsha Shoftim, but or not say on the Chumash, but he has different drushes. And he talks about different the Mishpatei HaTorah. He talks about how things work. We know the Gemara, we have many disputes, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai. So Al Pi Kabbalah, anyway, we say, right now we know we usually follow like Beis Hillel, not Beis Shammai. Not that Beis Shammai is wrong. Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim, they're all words of God, words of wisdom, except in terms of bottom line stock, we follow Beis Hillel now. And in Al Pi Kabbalah, we're not ready for Beis Shammai, but when the Mashiach comes and we can handle more, so we'll follow Beis Shammai. So it's in so the Rosh Hashanah writes that the Torah has different systems you make. And therefore, you have the big picture, the different rules and regulations. You can't switch it for every individual case. Like, for instance, chess is a very interesting game. I like chess. It's a thinking game. You have the rooks, the pawns, the bishops, the queens. Let's say someone came along and said, you know what? Let's start moving. The queen has to move like a rook. The rook has to move like a bishop. The king like a pawn. And so it might be a very interesting game, but it's no longer chess anymore. If you change the rules of the game, it's no longer the Torah. The Torah has certain rules and regulations. And it's our job as a system, and as being a parent, being a Rebbe, or mentor, whatever the role you play, you have to learn how to navigate the system. It's something that the system's for everyone, but on an individual basis, you have to know, maybe this thing doesn't work for this person, you have to be able to navigate it. So the Drosh Haran says we have to look at the big picture and we have different rules and regulations. So the Drosh Haran writes that if the Torah permits, or in a situation, so normally eating non-kosher causes timtim halev, but in a situation where you're permitted to eat, or whatever the scenario is, but you're permitted to eat the non-kosher, so there is no timtim alev. Timtim alev is only, it's the isser. It's the prohibition of eating that causes a timtim alev. If it's prohibited food but it's permitted, so then there is no timtim alev. That's the way the Drushas Haran seems to learn. And the Abar Benel, in his introduction to Parsha Shoftim, again, the Abar Benel isn't usually known as a halachist, and the Drushas Haran is, but even though we'll see from the poskim, they seem to be working more with the Abar Benel shita. What does the Abar Benel say? Abar Benel is saying that no, of course the Torah did. The Torah also gave us different rules and regulations, and therefore he says, he compares eating non-kosher to eating poison. If a person mistakenly, it really doesn't make a difference what your intent is. If one drinks poison because they're suicidal, or they drink poison because they think it's a Coke bottle, or whatever it may be, it doesn't make a difference why you drank it. Poison's poison. It's going to have an impact on you. So to hear, you might have good reasons to eat non-kosher, but nevertheless, it still causes timtum halev. It's an objective thing. So that's the machlokes, the Abar Benel, and the Drushas Haran. In a case where it's permitted to eat non-kosher, does the non-kosher create timtum halev? The Drosh Haran says no. The Abar Benel says yes. It's an inherent thing like poison. And in fact, there's the Chasam Sofer, a famous tshuva with a situation in Vienna where there's a special school. The person was a shota, a legal fool. He wasn't, he didn't have the knowledge, didn't have the data to make any decisions. And he went to this special school. In theory, it was supposed to make that person become normal. The problem was they only served treifis, non-kosher, in that school. So the question was, can this person go to this school to become better, but in the process he's going to be involved in eating non-kosher, consuming tarfis. So again, to the chasam sofer, basically, ikar adin, strictly speaking, I can't say it's prohibited. You probably can. But at the end of his tshuva, he has strong words. He says, mutav, better to be a shota kol yomav, better to be a shota your whole life than to consume macholas asuras, because if you eat the non-kosher, it can have a negative impact later on to be involved in other aveiros. And Rav Moshe has a similar tshuva about other things, where meikar din is mutter, but he also talks about the detrimental effect of timtum halev. So they seem to be working with the Abar Benel, even though Api Halacha might be mutter, they're still claiming it causes the dulling of the senses, timtum halev. And it's interesting, Rama in Yoredeya, Simon, I think it's Pehe Siv Zayin, the Rama writes that a nursing woman should be especially careful to eat kosher all the time. She should be very meticulous. And the question is, like, what do you mean she has to be more careful? A nursing woman doesn't have to be more careful than me. I have to eat kosher because the Torah says so. A nursing woman has to eat kosher. The fact you're nursing, that's not the reason why you have to eat kosher. So what does the Rama mean? So you could say that there are certain mothers who, you know, they're observant, they keep kosher, but let's say then they're not so meticulous, they're willing to take a chance on certain foods. If you tell these mothers that taking a chance on these food is going to might affect your child, then they're willing not to eat kosher. They're willing to be strict. But for themselves, they're not so worried. Maybe that's what Jerome is saying. But the Taz and Shach say no. A tremendous thing. We're talking about a case where a woman, the nursing woman, it's a life-threatening situation. She has to eat non-kosher. And not only can she has to, or else she's going to die. She has a chiyuv to eat it. So the Rama is saying, in a case where a woman, because of medicinal reasons, because of life and death issues, a woman has to consume non-kosher, so then she shouldn't nurse her child. She should get someone else to nurse it or use the powder. Because why? Because if she does, we're concerned about the effect of timtum halev. As well, there's a famous discussion in the Ran and the Hagos Mordechai. It's a halach in Hilchos Shabbos that, let's say, you're in a hospital and there's a danger and a person has to eat, you know, the danger. And the issue is like this, there's only tray food in the hospital. So either you eat the tray food, or in the case of Iran, you'd have to desecrate Shabbos by slaughtering an animal and making it and koshering it. So which one? Because we have a general rule, you violate a kal tri. When you have to make choices in life, you try to violate the lesser prohibition. So at first glance, Chilul Shabbos is worse than non-kosher. Nevertheless, the Ran says, better to violate Shabbos and eat kosher. Why? Because the Ran's reason is because slaughtering the animals is a one-time shot. But eating tarfis, every time you eat, every kizayis you eat, another aveira. So that's what the Ran says. And Agos Mordechai, he agrees, but for a different reason. He says, you have to eat the kosher is because Because if you eat the non-kosher, it's going to have an impact later on. It's going to cause timtum halev. So it seems to be the Ran Lashitasan, the Ran who holds that if you're permitted to eat treif, there is no timtum halev. So he comes on to the reason that you're going to better to violate Shabbos once than a continuous violation of non-kosher. And the goes Mordechai, who learns like the Bar Manoah, the concern is timtum halev. So we see it's a machlokes, the drushes Haran and the Bar Manoah, even though we usually pass them like the drushes Haran, the Ran over the Bar Manoah. Nevertheless, the poskim seem to be working that there is some type of timtum halev, even when you're permitted to eat non-kosher. So what type of, let's just say one is involved, one eats, one somehow consumes non-kosher. So with the timtum halev, that's it, you're finished? How could one do an appropriate tshuva? So the Chazon Ish writes, if one does a tshuva shleima, one does a real tshuva, that could take away the impact. As the Rambam writes, tshuva means ani acher, I become someone different. So therefore, if one is involved with the consumption of this, there's still hope, there are ways of doing tshuva. And in fact, there's the famous B'nei Yisaskar, that we know in general, there's halacha of bitul b'shishim, that if non-kosher falls in, if milk falls into the soup, chicken soup, so if it's, soup is more than 60 times the milk, so we say it's bitul, it's nullified. What happens if one wants to be machmir, strict, and not eat the soup? So one shita brings down, yeah, it's okay to be machmir. And the other post can bring down, you mean, Machmir. It's heresy, it's happy curses. How could you be Machmir? Halacha says, Bato Bashishim is Mutzah. That's the end of the discussion. So comes along B'nai Yisaskar and takes it a step further. He says, not only are you permitted to eat the soup, but he says there's a mitzvah to eat the soup. It's premium soup because Isser Shenis Hafech Leheter. Something which was prohibited and was turned into permitted, so then that's the highest level. Like the Gemara tells us, Chazal tell us, "B'makam bali tshuva omdin, ein tzaddikin gemur yochalamin." In the places where bali tshuva stand, there's no, even the tzaddikim can't stand. So something which has the ability, something that once was became usher, and now mutter, that's on the highest level. So let's summarize. We quoted the Pasuk in Shmini that Shavera Mitamtam is a lave, that eating non-kosher affects the Neshama and has lasting effects. And we had the Machokas Rishonim, Rashi and Tosis versus the Ritva, on whether Eliyo Hanavi ate kosher al-pi dibor shani, what that means, whether it was okay, because God said to him, no, he didn't eat treif. And God worked it out. God got him kosher food. And we said that could be dependent on this machlokas, the drushes Haran, and the Abar Benel, whether it's the Isser, is it the prohibition that causes the timtum alev, or as the Abar Benel says, no, it's an objective thing. Poison's poison, and that's it. And even though we usually pass on like the Ran, the poskim seem to be going with the Abar Benel about with the Chasam Sofer, with the school in Vienna. We had the Ramah that a pregnant nursing woman should be more meticulous than usual not to consume non-kosher. Why? Because, so the Shach and the Taz say, because if in the case of Pikuach Nefeh, where she has to eat treif, she shouldn't nurse the child because it causes timtum halev. Or we had the Machlokes, the Agos Mordechai, the Ran, in terms of why is it better to eat kosher than to violate Shabbos, according to this opinion. According to the Ran, because there's no timtum halev, so therefore, according to the Ran, there's no timtum halev, so he says, but you're eating Isser every time, so therefore, better just to violate Avera once than do a continuous Avera. And that goes, Mordechai says, because it's timtum halev, and that's why you have to eat the kosher. And we said to the Rambam, on the Achir, one could do tshuva, and as the B'nai Yisachar points out, Issa Nafach Leheter, you should give out this chicken soup that Shohan in shul, everyone should have it because that's the highest level. Therefore, we should all make a special effort to, you know, try to be more meticulous in our kashrus observance.